الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شفأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على صوته يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان إلى أن قال: أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أصحابي كالنجوم بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم. وقال الشاعر: من ذا الذي رفع السيوف ليرفع اسمك فوق عماد النجوم منارا كانوا في الجبال جبالا وربما ساروا على موج البحار بحارا. Respected مشايخ، respected scholars, respected elders, and my brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The title allocated for today, on the occasion of the official opening ceremony of the Al-Azhar Academy, is the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, their devotion, their passion, their love, and their sacrifice for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must say it is a great title indeed for a great occasion. But I must also confess that this title is too great for somebody like me. It is well beyond me and it is too pure for this dirty mouth of mine. And it is because of this that I feel uneasy
unclean, hypocritical, ashamed, talking about the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and majma'een, and the passion that he had for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially because when I look at myself, I find that my passion for this deen does not even equal 1 trillionth the passion the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een had, many of which were younger than you and I. When I look at myself, and I look at the love, the devotion, and the sacrifices that I have for this deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I find that they are non-existent. With which mouth can I address you and lecture you? And then the verse of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَفْضًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Sends shivers down anybody's body. Oh believers, why do you say that which you do not do yourself? كَبُرَ مَفْضًا Do you not realize it is most hateful in the eyes of Allah that you say to the people the very thing that you do not do yourself? It is because of this that I have come today with one intention and one intention only. And that is to address myself as I am more in need of a reminder and addressing than any one of you. The Quran says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind them. The reminder enters the heart of a believer and it better benefits the true Muslim. I have come here today to remind myself. Maybe through this addressing, I will wake up from my sleep and I will realize the value of this deen. I will realize the value of this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon me, that Allah has bestowed upon you without any effort on our behalf. The deen of Islam which we have received as inheritance, which we have received without difficulty, which we have received without pain, which we have received without sacrifice, which we have received on our plate. Maybe today through this addressing, we will realize the value of the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een, and we will appreciate their efforts for the deen. You are a Muslim today because of the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een. You are a Muslim today because of the likes of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. You are a Muslim today because of the life of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You are a Muslim today because of the life of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. You are a Muslim today because of the life of Umar al-Faruq, because of the life of Ali al-Murtada, because of the life of Uthman ibn Nurayn, because of the life of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, because of the life of Abdullah ibn Umar, because of the life of Abdullah ibn Zubair, because of the life of Zayd ibn Thabit, because of the life of Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een. You are indebted to these people. You are indebted to the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een. I am indebted to these people. The Muslims of the Middle East are indebted to the Sahaba. The Muslims of the Far East are indebted to the Sahaba. The Muslims of the West are indebted to the Sahaba. The Muslims of Asia and Africa are indebted to these young lions. Muslims worldwide, wherever they may be, are indebted to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een. Maybe through this addressing, we will take these young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een as our role models and guiding stars. And maybe from today, we will leave the movie stars, we will leave the pop stars, and we will leave the soccer stars. Maybe today, we will begin to enlighten our hearts with the look for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the look for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the look for this deen. And maybe today, we will take out from this heart of ours the look of the shaitan and the look of the ways of the kuffar. Maybe from this addressing today, we will stay firm on the road to Jannah and we will leave the road of hell behind. Maybe today, we will sacrifice for the deen of Islam just as we sacrifice and strive for the dunya in our days of ignorance. Maybe today, we will sacrifice for this deen just as we sacrifice for the dunya in the days of ignorance. My brothers, you have asked for the passion of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een. I begin in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, and the most kind, the only being worthy of worship. Today the Quran will teach you, today the Quran will teach me, the passion the young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een had. Today the Quran will teach you of their devotion. Today the Quran will teach you of their love. Today the Quran will teach you of their sacrifices. Open the book of Allah and you will see in the very words that Allah has chosen for the Sahaba, you will see their passion. In the very words that Allah has chosen for the Sahaba, you will see their love for the Deen. You will see their love for their Nabi. You will see their love for Islam. In the very words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for the Sahaba, you will see the sacrifices and you will see the pain. Open the book of Allah, open Surah Fath and you will find the Quran saying to you, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. الذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. And those with Muhammad, who were those with Muhammad? They were the Sahaba رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين رحماء بينهم. You will see them compassionate amongst themselves. You will see them merciful amongst themselves. تراهم ركعا سجدين يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. You will see one of them in the state of ركوع. You will see the other in the state of prostration, doing what? Seeking the favor of Allah, seeking the bounty of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. And the mark of their iman, the mark of their faith, the mark of their belief is on their faces, from the faces of prostration. Open the Quran, open surah Hashr. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا. And for the poor immigrants, there is a share for the poor immigrants who were expelled from their houses, they were expelled from their properties, seeking the fadl of Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah, and helping Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulaika hum as-sadiqun. The Quran says, these are the truthful ones. These are the sadiqeen. Open the book of Allah. Open Surah Zumar. تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ ثُمَّ تَلِينَ جُلُودُهُمْ. And the skins of those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it begins to shiver from the Quran. When they recite the Quran, or when they hear the Quran, open the book of Allah. إِنَّمَا يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهَا خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Only those believe in our verses, when they are reminded of them, خَرُّوا سُجَّدًا, they fall into sajda, they fall into prostration, وَصَبَّحُوا بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ, and they glorify the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبَهُمْ, you will find that their sides forsake their bed. Why? يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ, they are calling their Lord, they are praying to their Lord, they are invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خَوْفُ وَطَمَعَ, in fear and hope, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend in charity that we have given them. Open the book of Allah, open Surah Hashr. The Quran says, لَا تَجِدْ قَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. You will not find the believers making friendship with those who oppose Allah, with those who oppose the Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا تجد قوم يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم. Even though they may be their brothers, they may be their sisters, they may be their mothers, they may be their fathers, أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان. They are the ones in whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the iman. إلى أن قال أولئك حزب الله, they are the party of Allah. For Muslims, listen, Allah, إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمَ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. It is the party of Allah, the حزب of Allah, the group of Allah that are the successful ones. You will see their passion in these words of the Quran. You will see their passion in these words of the Quran. You will see their love in these words of the Quran. You will see their love in these. You will see their sacrifices in the words of the Quran. You will see their devotion in the words of the Quran. You will see the passion in the blood that flowed down from their blessed bodies. You will see the passion in the tears that rolled down their blessed cheeks. You will see the passion on the nose that was on their faces. You will see the passion on the torn clothes that covered their bodies. You will see the passion, and you will see the passion in the wounds that decorated their limbs. You will see their passion, and you will see their love in the sacrifices that they made for the deen of Islam, that they made for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they made for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask you, O Muslim, doesn't the name of Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu come to mind? Doesn't the passion of Sayyidina Bilal come to mind? My brothers, if the kuffar is the khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they try to persecute Rasulullah, if they try to torture Rasulullah, the hadith states, فَمَلَأَهُ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ, his uncle Abu Talib would jump to the rescue. His uncle Abu Talib would save him from the rescue, would save him from the tortures and the punishment of the kuffar. If the kuffar tried to give taklif to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, if they tried to persecute him, his people and tribe would jump to his rescue and save Abu Bakr from the punishment and the tortures of the kuffar. every one of the believers has somebody from amongst their relatives, or somebody from amongst the kuffar who would jump to their rescue and save them from the punishment and the tortures of the kuffar. Except for Sayyidina Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala, the hadith says, فَإِنَّهُ حَالَتْ نَفْسَهُ فِي اللَّهِ وَحَالَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. For Bilal, in the eyes of the kuffar, for Bilal had no value. Nobody would come and save Sayyidina Bilal from the punishment of the kuffar. Nobody would come and save Sayyidina Bilal from the tortures of kuffar. The kuffar would whip Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala an during the night, so that Bilal leaves the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that Bilal leaves the kalima, so that Bilal forsakes the deen of Islam. My brothers, they are whipping Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala an, and the blessed name of Allah is flowing from the lips of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala an. Allahu Akbar, the torture gets tired. Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi is covered with blood. Another one takes over. He swears by the idols of Lat and Uzza. He swears by the idols of Lat and Uzza, I will make sure that this youngster leaves the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will make sure that Bilal forsakes the deen and begins to worship the idols of Lat and Uzza. He takes over. He begins to whip Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi. Blood. His body is covered with blood. He is bleeding profusely. He is whipping him, and the blessed name of Allah is flowing from the lips of Sayyidina Bilal. Why? Because he was intoxicated with the look for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was intoxicated with the look for Islam. He was intoxicated with the look of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No persecution could distract him. No punishment could distract him. The night comes to an end. The kuffar has failed. Bilal al-Habshi is still reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. Next day, my brothers, the kuffar taking advantage of the cuts and bruises on the blessed body of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala an. The hadith states, كان أمية يخرجه إذا حميت الزهيرة فيزرعه على ظهره في بطائن مكة. His master taking advantage of the cuts and bruises on the blessed body of Bilal, he would carry Bilal al-Habshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he would throw him in the scorching heat of Arabia, and he would throw him on his back in the burning sun of Mecca. He would get a great stone and he would place it on his chest so that Bilal al-Habshi keeps him burning in the hot sun, in the scorching heat. And he would say to him, لا تزال هكذا حتى تموت أو تكفر بمحمد وتعبد الله والأسرة. For Bilal, you will remain like this. Oh Bilal, I will keep on persecuting in this manner. I will keep on punishing you in this manner till you leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till you forsake the deen and begin to worship the idols of Lat and Uzza. Every limb of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi would answer, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. My brother, his master Umayyah cannot believe what he is seeing. He cannot believe what he is hearing. He cannot believe what he is hearing. Why is this youngster not leaving the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why is this youngster not leaving the deen of Islam? Why is it that this torture is having no effect on him? Why is it that this punishment is having no effect on him? Why is it that this youngster is not feeling pain? We are persecuting him. We are punishing him. We are whipping him. He is covered with blood, but he is not feeling pain. Why is it? Oh Umayyah, it was the halawatul iman. It was the sweetness of iman that had entered the blood of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi. It had entered the veins of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi. It had entered the bones of Sayyidina Bilal al-Habshi. It was the sweetness of iman. Oh Umayyah, when a Muslim tastes the sweetness of iman, no persecution can have an effect on him. No punishment can have an effect on him. No matter how much you persecute him, no matter how much you punish him, nothing can have an effect on him. The kuffar acknowledged their failure. The kuffar acknowledged their failure. My brothers, and they put a rope around his neck, and they give this rope in the hands of the children. The children begin to swear at him. The children begin to swear at him. The children laugh at him. The children spit at him. The children beat him. And they drag him in this condition in the hills of Makkah. And you can hear the echoes of Allah is the one and the only. Ahad, Ahad is coming from the mountains of Makkah. My brothers, this was the passion that they had for the deen of Islam. How can we forget the passion of Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala an, the sixth or seventh to embrace Islam? The kuffar persecute him. Maybe this youngster will leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe he will stop saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They persecute him so much that the hadith says, فَأَلْبَسُوهُمْ أَذْرَاعَ الْحَدِيثِ وَصَهَرُوهُمْ فِي الشَّمْسِ حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنْهُمُ الْجُهْدُ كُلَّ مَبْلَغٍ. They would force him to wear a steel armor, and then they would force him to lie down in the burning sun so that he sweats and swelter. His bones are saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They would brand his head with a hot iron rod. He would brand their heart with the name of Allah. He would brand their heart with the kalima, La ilaha illallah. They punished him so much that he even saw the day regarding which he himself has narrated. He says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي يَوْمًا أَخَذُونِي فَأَوْكَدُوا لِي نَارًا ثُمَّ صَلَخُونِي فِيهَا ثم وضع رجل رجله على صدره ثم استكنت الارض الا بظهري. O Muslims, I even saw the day that when the kuffar caught hold of me, they caught hold of me, they started a fire. When the fire became hot, they took off my clothes and they dragged my body over the heaps of smoldering charcoal. Allahu Akbar, they dragged my body over the heaps of smoldering charcoal. My back is burning, it is on the heaps of smoldering charcoal. One of them stands on my chest so that I'm unable to stand up, so that I'm unable to run away, so that my back keeps on burning. O Muslims, do you know what put out the fire that day? Do you know what put out the fire that day? It was not you that came to help. It was not your fire engines that put out the fire that day. It was not the water that put out the fire that day. فَمَا اتَّقَيْتُ الْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِظَهْرِي. O Muslim, it was the blood that came out of Sayyidina Khabbab's back. It was the fat that melted from Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu's back that put out the fire that day. How can we forget the passion of Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He was younger than you, he was younger than me. He was an 8-year-old child when he embraced Islam. His uncle would roll him in a mat, roll him up in a mat, and he would hang the mat along with him, so that then he would start a fire beneath, so that his child isn't able to breathe. My brother, he would come to him in this situation, and he would say to him, "Irji' ila al-kufr, return to kufr, leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The child is in pain, the child cannot breathe, he is only an 8-year-old child, he is finding it difficult to breathe. My brother, his uncle is taking advantage of this situation. He is forcing him to leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The child is like as if he is choking. He cannot even breathe. But you can hear the broken words of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Let us not be fooled by the luxuries of this world. Let us not be fooled by the wealth and the women and the luxuries of this world. Let us not be intoxicated with our own desire and shahwat. Let us realize the value of this deen. Let us realize the value of this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us without any effort on your behalf, without any effort on my behalf, without any sacrifice. Muslims, how can we forget the passion and the love of the family of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala an, the first family to embrace Islam? Allahu Akbar, they would punish this family so much that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would console his family and he would say to him, "Isbiru ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al-jannah." Or the family of Yasir, keep on making sabr like you have done. Your promise is the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once they threw their son Ammar in the fire, thinking now that his parents Yasir and Samaya would leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they saw their child suffer, for the deen of Islam had entered their heart, it was flowing in their veins. They replied, "La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you can kill our son, but we will not leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." It was only the dua of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya nar, kuni batu wa salaman ala Ammar, kama kunti ala Ibrahim," that the fire became cold and peaceful upon Ammar, like it came cold and peaceful upon Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Once they punished this child so much that he was forced to make a good mention of their God, he comes crying to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, shadun ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wallahi ma duriktu hatta niltu min, wa zakartu aliyakum bi khair." "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have betrayed the deen of Islam. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they persecuted me so much that I was forced to make a good mention of their God." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns around to this child and asks, "Fakifa tajidu qalban?" "Tell me, how is your heart?" He replies, "Mutma'innun bil iman." "Ya Rasulullah, there is no fear of my heart. My heart is full of iman." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Ammar, do not worry. فَإِنْ عَادُوا فَأُوْتْ." If they persecute you in this manner, then if you are forced to say what you have said, then you can say it another time. They tried every physical punishment. What did they find? They find that these youngsters are growing stronger in faith. They find that the passion and the love of these youngsters is growing stronger and stronger. They now introduce family pressure. A person can bear the physical torture himself, but a person cannot tolerate the sufferings of his family. Then the suffering of his mother, the very being who brought him into this world, the very being who gave him birth, the very mother who took care of him, the very mother who weaned him, the very mother who nourished and fostered him, the very mother who took care of him. My brothers, nobody can tolerate the suffering of a mother. Whether this mother is a Muslim or whether this mother is a non-believer, nobody can tolerate the suffering of a mother. And the kuffar are now using this ploy to test the passion and the love of these youngsters. Musab ibn Umair's mother says, "I swear by the ayahs of Lat al-Uzza, I will never eat and I will never drink
and I will stand in the shade. I will stand in the scorching heat of Makkah, and I will not stand in the shade. She says, Qasam, my brothers, and she says to her Qasam, she will not eat, she will not drink, and she will stand in the scorching heat till she would faint and fall down in front of her son, Mus'ab ibn Umair. The other children would begin to fear the death of their mother, but Mus'ab ibn Umair, in spite that he would see his mother faint in front of his eyes, he would utter, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Oh mother, you can leave this world, but I am not to leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The enemy of Allah, Abu Jahl, killed the mother of Ammar ibn Yasir, thinking this will weaken the child, thinking this will soften the child, and the child Ammar will live the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He killed his mother. The child replied, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Sa'd ibn Waqqas' mother takes qasam that I will not eat, I will not drink, and I will not drink till my son Sa'd leaves the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mother stops eating, mother stops drinking. Every second that passes, the mother is becoming weaker. Maybe now the son Sa'd will leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe now he will forsake the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. My brother, he says to his mother, I swear by the one in whose hands my life is in. Mother, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you 100 lives and you lost each life in front of my very eyes, even then I will not leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you wish to eat, then the food is here. If you do not wish to eat, then do not eat. I am not to leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the battle of Badr. Abu Ubaidah is making his way towards the enemy line. The kuffar are scared of Abu Ubaidah. The mushrikeen are scared of him. Nobody wants to challenge him. The mushrikeen move out of the way, except for one man. Wherever Abu Ubaidah goes, this man is coming in front of him. Abu Ubaidah doesn't want to meet this man. Abu Ubaidah doesn't want to challenge this man. Abu Ubaidah does not want to fight this man. Whenever this man comes, Abu Ubaidah sees him. Abu Ubaidah turns his way. When he sees that this man is becoming an obstacle, when he sees this man is persistent, when he sees this man is adamant, when he sees this man will not move out of the way, off comes the head of this man. Oh Muslims, you know who this man was? This man was Abdullah. This man was the father of Abu Ubaidah. Family pressure failed. Now they want to test the pattern of these youngsters by bribing them. History testifies that many a man has melted before the luxuries of this world like snow in the hot sun. The kuffar want to bribe these children, and they want to test the passion and the love and the devotion of these youngsters. And they believe that through bribing them, they will win them over by giving them gold and silver, by bringing beautiful women in front of their eyes, that these people, these youngsters, will leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask, do you think this ploy is going to work? When they had already learned this lesson from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his uncle, Ya Ammi, لَوَّدَ أُشَّمْتَ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرْ فِي يَسَارِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَدْرُكَ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ مَا تَرَبْتُهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his uncle, when the kuffar tried a similar tactic and ploy against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yo my chacha, if they place the sun in my right hand, and if they place the moon in my left hand, even then I am not to leave the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had learned this lesson from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They told the kuffar that if they can come into this world naked, then they can leave the world naked. Allahu Akbar, it is the battle of Uhud. The lion of Allah, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has been martyred. His body has been mutilated by the kuffar. His sister comes with his kafan, two sheep. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in are about to enshroud the body when they realize that a Muslim Ansari Suhail is laying not far. He has no kafan. He lays there. How can the Sahaba give two sheep to Sayyidina Hamza and leave his Sahabi with no kafan? They give one sheep to Sayyidina Hamza and they give one sheep to this Sahabi, Sayyidina Suhail radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They realize that one of the sheep is bigger than the other. Who should receive the big sheep? Is it to be the lion of Allah? Is it to be this Ansari Sahabi, Sayyidina Suhail radiallahu ta'ala an? They draw lots, and my brothers, the big sheep comes out in the lot of Sayyidina Suhail radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Hamza leaves this world with a kafan that does not even cover his blessed body. They told the kuffar that if we can come into this world, we will leave this world naked, but we will not leave the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Everything they tried, they failed. I asked, how do you think these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in would feel if they came to know of the situation of the young Muslims of this era? How do you think these young Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in would feel if they came to know of the state of affairs of the Muslims? How do you think they would feel if they came to know that the young Muslims of today have a passion for everything except for the deen of Allah, except for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They have a passion for the dunya, they strive for the dunya, they have a passion for false gods, they have a passion for drugs, they have a passion for intoxicants, they have a passion for music, they have a passion for everything except for the deen of Islam. How do you think these young Sahaba would feel if they came to know that the Muslims of today, the young Muslims of today, are intoxicated with shahawat, are intoxicated with desires, and their love and passion for the deen, and their love and passion for the dunya is far greater than their love and passion for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And it is these youngsters that are becoming a burden on society, and it is these youngsters that are turning away from the deen of Rasulullah, and it is these youngsters that are rebelling against the deen and becoming enemies of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have asked for the passion, and you will see the passion of these young lions in their willingness to sacrifice their life. You will see their passion in their eagerness to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. It is the battle of Uhud. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking at the Muslim army. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar comes to Rasulullah. My brother, he has not even reached the age of 15. He is younger than the age of 15. He comes and offers himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I want to go with the Muslims to fight. I want to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. My brother's permission is not granted because Abdullah ibn Amr is too small. He begins to cry, tears are flowing from his eyes. He was so saddened by this that he would say, ma atat alayya laylatun qattu misru wa min al-sahri wal-usri wal-buqa islam yaqbalni Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never have I cried or never have I been stricken with grief as much as I was the day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took me to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is just not one example. Zayd ibn Arqam comes to Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. Zayd ibn Arqam has not reached the age of 15. Usama ibn Zayd comes. Ya Rasulullah, I want to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. Usama ibn Zayd has not reached the age of 15. Zayd ibn Thabit comes. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. He has not reached the age of 15. Bara ibn Azib comes. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. Ya Rasulullah, I want to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. He has not reached the age of 15. They are too small. Permission is not granted. Tears are flowing from the eyes. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not given his permission. Rafi comes, he wants to take these chances. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I beg you, I want to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. Permission is not given to Rafi because Rafi is also too small. Allahu Akbar, his father exclaimed, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, inna Rafi and Ramin, for my son is a good archer. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be able to help the Muslims. He will not be a burden on the Muslims. He will be able to help the Muslims. Allahu Akbar, father is saying this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The son at the same time, he is standing on his toes. He wants to show Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bigger than what he is in reality. Permission is granted, and there's a smile on the face of Sayyidina Rafi radiallahu ta'ala an. Samara is looking at all this. He is listening to this. He cannot tolerate that he has been deprived of this great honor, that he has been deprived of elevating the flag of Islam, of elevating the kalima la ilaha illallah. He goes crying to his father, O Abajan, Rafi has received permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Abajan, I am more stronger than Rafi. I can beat Rafi. I can wrestle him to the ground. Why is it that Rafi has received permission and I have not received permission? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed. The child has been given an opportunity to prove his claim. Arresting must his help. Allahu Akbar, this child Samra says to Rafi, O Rafi, you have received the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have received the key to Jannah. You have got the opportunity to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. Do not be the cause of my deprivation. Do not deprive me for the key of Jannah. Do not deprive me from entering the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wrestling must begin. Down goes Rafi, and there's a smile on Samra's face. That permission has been granted to Samra, just like that it was being granted to Rafi. Look at the passion, and look at our passion. We are intoxicated with our desires. We are mustaghraq in our shahwat. Just after fulfilling our shahwat. Look at these youngsters, they were younger than you and I. Wahb ibn Qawus is a shepherd. He comes from his village in the desert to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. He has with him his nephew and he has with him his goat tied to a rope. He comes to Medina, He reaches Medina and he finds Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left Uhud. Look at the pattern. He has come to visit Rasulullah. He does not find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He learns Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Uhud. Without hesitation, without informing his mother or father, without informing his family, he immediately goes towards Uhud. At the time, an enemy group was attacking Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exclaims, whoever takes care of his enemy, he will be my safi, he will be my companion in Jannah. Without hesitation, Wahib ibn Qabus rushes towards the enemy. He takes care of the enemy single-handed. Another group comes, Wahib ibn Qabus takes care of them. A third group comes, Wahib ibn Qabus takes care of them. A fourth group comes, Wahib ibn Qabus takes care of them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam congratulates him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him good tidings of Jannah. When he hears the good tidings of Jannah from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not want to delay his entry to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He rushes towards the enemy line and fights in his martyrs. The great Muslim general Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I have never seen a Muslim fight as bravely and fiercely like I saw Wahb ibn Qabus radiallahu ta'ala anhu fight. I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing next to his martyr's body saying, oh Wahab, you have pleased me, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you. He says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though he himself was wounded in this battle, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself buried Sayyidina Wahb ibn Qabus radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar says, I have never envied anybody as I've envied Wahab ibn Qabus, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his blessed hand buried Wahab ibn Qabus radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exhorting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in to elevate the kalima la ilaha illallah. O my Sahaba, rise up and race with one another, compete with one another for a Jannah which is as wide as the heavens and the earth, only prepared for the muttaqeen, only prepared for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umair is listening to this. He says, Bukh, how wonderful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, oh Umair, what do you mean by this? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to be from one of those who for whom this Jannah has been prepared. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umair, do not worry, rest assured, you are from one of these for whom this Jannah has been prepared. Allahu Akbar. At the time, he has a bag of dates. He takes out some dates. He begins to eat these dates. When all of a sudden my brother is eating, he throws away these dates and he says, to wait till these dates are finished will be too long. I cannot wait for the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that long. My brother, he jumps into the enemy line. He jumps into the jaws of death till he is no more. This was the passion that they had for this date. It is the battle of Yamama. Ammar ibn Yasir is covered in blood. His ear is cut off. It is hanging by the skin only. It is dangling. He is standing on a rock and he is saying to the Muslims, أَمِنَ الْجَنَّةِ تَفِرُّونَ يَا مَعْشِرَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَمِنَ الْجَنَّةِ تَفِرُّونَ أَنَا أَمَّارُ بْنُ يَاسِرُ قُلُمُّ إِلَيَّ. Oh my Muslim brothers, are you running from the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where are you going? Jannah is towards me. Come, I am Ammar ibn Yasir. Come, I will take you to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his head is covered with blood. This was the passion that they had for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That they were prepared to sacrifice their deen, to sacrifice their land for this deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever they were required, for whatever they were required, they presented their life for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will see their passion, and you will see their devotion, and you will see their love for this deen in their very prayers. The kuffar are taking Sayyidina Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the gallows. He's about to part from this world because the kuffar are about to execute him. The kuffar are about to sever his head from his body. He's in his last throes and they ask him to make his last wish. You and I would be probably concerned about our family. We would be concerned about our mother and father. We would be concerned about our young ones. Look at his request. He says to the kuffar, oh kuffar, let me offer 2 rakats. Let me offer 2 rakats because the time has come for me to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He offers the 2 rakats very calmly, very collectively. And then he says to the kuffar, oh kuffar, if it was not that you begin to fear, if it was not that you would think that I fear death, then I would have offered another 2 rakats. Just to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when he's in his last throes. He's about to leave from this world. Abad ibn Bishr is offering salah. An enemy scout makes him out from a distance. Arrows are piercing his body one after the other. He is covered in blood, but he does not break his salah because of the pleasure that he is receiving and the happiness and joy that he is getting from his salah. This was their passion. This was their devotion. And this was the love that they had for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at us today. Our passion is for the dunya. We strive. We strive for the dunya. We make effort for the dunya. We make effort to commit sin. Look at our heart, full of filth, full of dirt. Our minds full of dirt. Our thinking, filth. Where do we compare with these people? If we cannot sacrifice our life for the deen, if we cannot sacrifice our life for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we cannot sacrifice our life for the Quran, then we should not become at least enemies of Islam. We don't claim that we are enemies, but our lifestyle and the way we are living our life shows that we hate Islam. And we have a love for the kuffar. All our ways are like the ways of the kuffar. We eat like the way of the kuffar. We walk and talk like the kuffar. We act like the kuffar. And we have no knowledge of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So ask for what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
على رسول الكريم. دوستو یہ جو آپ نے حضرات صحابہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ اجمعین کی شان میں مولانا احمد علی صاحب کا بیان سنا, آج کل کے اس معاشرے میں انسان سوتے وقت کوئی ٹی وی دیکھتا ہے, کوئی فلم دیکھتا ہے, کوئی ناول پڑھ کر سوتا ہے. یہ صحابہ کرام رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہم اجمعین کی سچی حقیقی ایسی زبردست داستانیں ہیں کہ اگر آپ اس کی عادت ڈالیں کہ سوتے وقت آپ کے سرحانے حضرات صحابہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ اجمعین نے سرکار دو عالم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے ساتھ اور آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے بعد جس طرح آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی ہدایت اور ارشادات کے مطابق وقت گزارا, تو آپ کو پھر یہ دنیا کے ساتھ دھندے اور شہوت پر قصے اور داستانیں اور فلمیں, یہ آپ کا دل اس سے نفرت کرے گا اور ہیچ معلوم ہوں گی کہ یہ حقیقی داستان محبت اور عشق کی اور جانبازی اور سر کٹانے کی کہاں اور کہاں یہ سب جھوٹے قصے اور کہانیاں. اس سے آپ کو ایک روشنی ملے گی اور راستہ ملے گا کہ آپ کو اپنی زندگی میں کیا کرنا چاہیے. ہمارے یہاں قریب میں دار العلوم کے چند طلبہ کا ایکسیڈنٹ ہوا تھا, تو میں نے ان طلبہ سے جو اس گاڑی میں تھے ان سے پوچھا کہ آپ لوگ تو جن کیریج پر اپنی لائن میں جا رہے تھے اور آپ نے جب دیکھا کہ سامنے سے کوئی کار آ کر آپ کی کار سے ٹکرا رہی ہے تو بالکل موت آپ کو سامنے نظر آئی ہوگی, تب ایک دو سیکنڈ کے بعد بالکل موت سامنے ہے, تو اس وقت آپ کے تاثرات کیا تھے, کیا سوچ رہے تھے؟ تو ان میں ایک طالب علم بیوی بچے والا تھا, تو میں نے اس سے کہا کہ اس وقت تمہیں بچی ضرور یاد آئی ہوگی. تو وہ طالب علم کہنے لگا کہ ہاں واقعی. وہ رو پڑا, کہنے لگا کہ واقعی اس وقت جو سب سے پہلا تصور میرے ذہن میں آیا کہ میں تو اب مر رہا ہوں, میرا آخری وقت ہے, تو اس ایکسیڈنٹ میں مر گیا تو میری بچی کا کیا ہوگا؟ ایک سالہ دو سالہ معصوم چھوٹی سی بچی. تو اس نے اس کا اقرار کیا کہ ہاں میں اس وقت بچی کو یاد کر رہا تھا. یہ حضرات صحابہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ اجمعین ان کا جب آخری وقت ہوتا تھا تو سرکار دو عالم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم میں وہ مستغرق ہوتے تھے. ستر قرا آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے ایک قبیلے کی تعلیم کے لیے بھیجے. ان کی شہادت کے قصے میں لکھا ہے کہ انہوں نے جب دیکھا کہ دشمن دھوکہ دے کر ہمیں یہاں قتل کرنے کے لیے لایا ہے تو سب سے پہلے انہوں نے یہ دعا کی, اللہم اخبر عنا نبینا, کہ اللہ ہم یہاں جس حال میں ہیں سرکار دو عالم